Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Traveler, episode 161. Today, the amateur traveler goes to Transylvania. Sure, we'll talk about Dracula, but learn what else there is to see in this lovely part of Romania. Today in the amateur traveler. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today. Welcome to the amateur traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. It was a slower travel news week this week, so I only have one story for you before we go into the interview. And that one seemed appropriate. I've been waiting on that one for a couple weeks. And if, while you're listening to the show on Transylvania, you think that sounds really wonderful, you should be aware that the air has put Dracula's castle up for sale. So if you really want to sink your teeth into Transylvania, yes, and I can't believe that I said that either, just check out that story in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome the show Sean from Utah, who's come to talk to us about Transylvania. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, when I say Transylvania, some people are going to try and find the country of Transylvania on the map, and they're not going to have so much luck.
You probably would find it if you looked on a 14th century map,
there
but you won't
go.
Find it on a modern map.
And we'd be actually looking for Romania here.
You would be looking for Romania in Eastern Europe.
Most of us know one thing and one thing only about Transylvania, and that's Vlad the Impaler,
however you
want to call the guy. Why did you go to Transylvania?
Transylvania really wasn't on my list of places to visit at first, and I just happened to be in a bookstore one day and picked up a book, one of those Lonely Planet guys on Romania, and I looked at it and thought, well, that looks interesting, and I bought the book, and about 3 months later, I was wandering around Transylvania.
Okay.
In fact, many of my trips end up that way. Just finding books in the bookstore and plotting it out, and that's how I ended up in Estonia and Latvia one time. It's just the book seemed interesting at the time.
Okay. And what was your impression? What was the first thing you noticed about Transylvania?
You know, Transylvania was just very beautiful, just scenic. I guess I didn't have a mental picture of what to expect of Transylvania, other than maybe something spooky because of the Dracula fictional character coming out of that region. But I didn't expect to see these rolling hills and green lush valleys and snow-capped mountains. I think that was probably the most surprising thing for me is just the scenic beauty.
And we're in the Carpathian Mountains, right?
Exactly.
Know my vampire lore or something, I don't know.
There you go. Transylvania is actually on the north of those mountains, and then you have Wallachia that's on the south side of the mountains.
Okay. And what was your itinerary?
The itinerary was to fly into Bucharest, rent a car, and drive up into Transylvania, and then just kind of hop from village to village. And when I saw something of interest, I'd stop. And when I was finished with it, I'd just drive on to the next spot.
And how big an area we're talking about? We're not talking very large, I assume.
It's not a large area. The road system is a little bit windy. And some of the road conditions are a little bit substandard to Western U.S. standards. But the travel is certainly not treacherous. It's very easy to travel around there. But it does take a little bit longer because they're usually two-way highways. And so the drive from Bucharest all the way up into Sighișoara, which is right in the heart of Transylvania, probably was about a three-hour drive.
Okay. You started with a guidebook. What did the guidebook tell you to see?
Guidebooks, of course, named the Bran Castle, the famous one that they tout as the Dracula Castle, but it's on virtualtourist.com, and somebody had recommended Sighișoara, as one of my first stops because it's an old walled medieval city that the Saxons had occupied since about the 12th century.
The Saxons that far over to the east?
Well, in fact, most of Transylvania has a German-Saxon influence.
Oh, okay.
That whole countryside was occupied by the Saxons from the 12th and 13th into the 14th and 15th century.
Interesting. Okay. What did you find besides that that the guidebooks didn't mention?
I think the guidebooks did a really good job at kind of labeling out the highlights of Transylvania.
We didn't say which guidebook it was that you had found in the bookstore, actually.
Lonely Planet, actually.
Okay, all right.
The guidebook, though, missed out on, I think, two things. One was the ease of doing the self-driving tour. The guidebooks focus primarily on using public transportation, train travel, buses, taxis in Bucharest. You're not going to find probably a big taxi service within, other than the main cities like Brasov, which is about 300,000 people. Mm-hmm. I think that they missed the point that you could do a self-drive tour very easily, very economically. And I thought it was much more fun to be out there venturing around between village to village and getting to places that you couldn't get to by public transportation.
Okay.
There's a mountain pass called the, I hope I pronounced this correctly, Transvarasha. It comes from the Transylvania Valley and crosses the Carpathian Mountains into Wallachia. You could not do that by public transportation. You'd have to rent a car and do it. And so actually, one thing I was glad that I picked up on some other recommendations from fellow travelers online and rented a car instead of taking public transportation. The second thing I think the guidebooks missed out on is the low-cost carriers, air carriers coming into Romania, especially into Transylvania. There are some flights now with Ryanair who are having regular flights right into the heart of Transylvania. I think the last time I looked it up, between Paris and the heart of Transylvania in the town called Cluj, the flight was $30 round trip. Very economical to get it inside Transylvania. In fact, I'd actually recommend that. Unless you really want to see Bucharest, I'd fly directly into Transylvania and start your journey there.
And what would you recommend that people see if you go to Transylvania? You mentioned the castle and the walled city.
Sighișoara is definitely on the map. Need to go see that. They still have the birth home of Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Tepeș, as they say, in Sighișoara, but it's the old Saxon town, and it's all walled in. In fact, the majority of the walls and the bastions are still standing, and it's a very well-preserved medieval city. They have a little market in the marketplace there where vendors come in. A lot of Hungarian influence in the vendors that are selling in the little medieval market. I found it to be extremely safe, very easy to get around. Great little cafes to hang out. That's definitely on the map. Another city would be Brasov, which is in eastern Transylvania, not very far from the Bran Castle. Fascinating place with the old city walls, and it really is a fun place to wander around and to visit. I think those are probably two of the top little towns that I would visit.
Okay. And we've actually made a couple different references to Vlad the Impaler, and we haven't really said who he is. I suspect there's probably somebody listening who hasn't heard this story already. You want to tell us a little bit about who we're talking about?
Sure. His actual name was Vlad III. His dad was Vlad II. And Vlad was a Wallachian prince. And his father was inducted into the Order of the Dragon. And in Romanian, dragon is Drac. And Ul, U-L, it means the, and so Dracul is the dragon. And so his father was known as Vlad Dracul. And Vlad III was apparently very proud of this fact that his father was part of this Christian order. And the order was set up to defend Christianity and to defend off the Ottoman Turks from invading the country and establishing Islam. And so he took upon himself the name Vlad Dracula, being literally the son of the dragon. And that's how you come up with the word Dracula. Tepeș, he's also known by. Tepeș actually means the impaler. And so he was named by his preferred method of executing his enemies, which was by impalement. And he is noted to do, I think the numbers are around between 50 and 100,000 people that he may have killed that way.
Okay.
So he ruled definitely with an iron hand.
Right.
It's interesting because they commercialized the whole Dracula thing. And this was one of the other things that was surprising about Romania, is they commercialized this. They have his face on plates, on posters, on postcards. There's a little cafe restaurant, which is actually pretty good food, named Casa Dracula, right there in the heart of Cihuata, that plays off his notoriety as the basis for Bram Stoker's character, Count Dracula. So there's a lot of commercialization of the Dracula thing, but if you talk to the native Romanians, they really revere him more as a national hero, a national historical figure, who was the defender of Christianity, somebody who was not to be dealt with. You definitely lived by his rules, otherwise you suffered severe consequences. But he was looked upon as somebody who did a very good job at defending Transylvania and Wallachia.
Other things we should see while we're in Transylvania.
Part of just driving around Transylvania and just seeing the little marketplaces, this is like old Eastern Europe probably was 20, 30, 40 years ago. You can be driving down the street and be passed by a large Mercedes sedan, and at the same time up ahead of the road is this horse-drawn carriage or cart, farmer's cart, that's dealing with it.
Sure.
And so you have this real fun mix of old European ways, and the new Europe really hasn't, I don't mean to imply that they're backward or out of date, but they've held true to their traditions, which is really a fun thing. What's nice about Romania right now is the inexpensive travel.
Sure.
And eat for very little money, very good food, very hearty food, for a fraction of what you could here in the States or in Europe.
And give us an example. What would you eat and how much would it cost?
You'll get a fairly full meal, like a schnitzel or some sort of beef dish with vegetables and dessert and a drink, and the bill might come to $5.50 or $6.
Okay, so it sounds similar to German food, but cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. A lot cheaper, especially with the dollar the way it is right now.
Sure.
What was interesting was when I was there, that was just before they did the revamping of the currency. And there were some fairly large inflationary rates that were going on. In fact, when you filled up with the gas tank for the rental car, they had actually taped extra zeros onto the gas pump to accommodate for this inflation that had gone wild on them. And so I had filled up the tank, and it probably was about two-thirds full, and it was 1.2 million of the then Romanian lei. And then you go in, and it's a very cash society, which you ought to realize too if you're traveling in Transylvania. You need to withdraw the money and use the cash, because you'll find that a lot of places don't accept, except the major hotels or more of the tourist-oriented restaurants. Everything else is cash basis.
So you didn't have trouble using your ATM, it's just you had to carry cash around.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. In fact, there's a fun ATM story.
Oh, that's right.
I had flown into Bucharest, and I had arrived fairly late in the afternoon. You can't really get Romanian currency outside of Romania, and there was a fairly long line for the currency exchange. And so I went, thought, well, I'd get a rental car first, and then I'll go back and exchange my money. So I negotiated a deal, paid in U.S. dollars, got a little bit of discount for doing that. Guy pulls around the rental car, I jumped in, took off, and I was driving up into Transylvania, about a three-hour drive ahead of me. About an hour and a half into the drive, I realized I was hungry and needed to stop for food. But I had just come from Bulgaria, so I had Bulgarian money with me. I had euros and I had dollars, but I didn't have any Romanian currency. All the banks would have been closed. I looked at the map. The next big town was Brasov, and it's a fairly substantial town, so I thought, I'll for sure find an ATM there. As I drove into town, I kept looking for a sign that says Center or Centrum or something that designated that way there could have been some banks. And the next sign I realized is that international sign that says, now you're leaving the city limits. And I thought, uh-oh, I must have missed the sign. So, and that's another thing about Romania is signage sometimes is lacking for road signage, directional signs. So I flipped a U-turn, came back in, and I see these police officers. They were clocking people on radar on this main highway there. So I pulled off the side, and my broken Romanian asked where the bank was located. And they told me in Romania that the bank's closed. And I said, no, I need the machine for the bank. Ah, bancomat. And there was two of them sitting in the car, the two policemen. And they looked like it was kind of almost like a comic routine. They were just they looked like they enjoyed just working with each other. So he starts describing me how to get to the ATM, but he's doing so in all in Romanian. And I guess I deserved it because I started the conversation in Romanian. And I had to stop him. And I said, do you speak any English? Oh, yes, English. And his partner starts interrupting him and giving me the directions in English. And he kind of quiets him down. He smiles at me and he says, I'll show you who the wise one is. I'm the wise one, the English. So he says, you go straight, and he points straight, and he says, you go left, but he's pointing right at the time that he says go left. And his partner starts laughing at him. That's not left, that's right. And he goes, oh, no, no, no. He goes, I'll tell him. And he says, no, 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 I'm the wise one, I'm the smart one. So he starts explaining to me again, and he points straight and then right, and then he points straight again but says left, and his partner starts both busting in laughter. You don't know English. I know English. So basically they have a conversation. Okay, you're so smart, you go tell him. So he gets out of his car, walks in between the police car and my car, and says, I show you who the smart one is. The wise one is the English. And he looks at his partner, and he says, you go straight, and looks at his partner again, and then he goes, you go left, and he points right. And his partner just busts out laughing. And he realizes his mistake, and he goes, you follow us. And I said, do I understand you? No, 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 you drive, we drive. I said, oh, you want me to follow you in your car? He jumps back in the police car. They turn on the lights, and it's full police lights running on, and I'm to follow them. And we're going straight and then right and then left, and everybody walking down the street sees this flashing light and this car following behind them. They probably thought I was going to jail or something. And finally we arrive at this little center, and there's an ATM, and they point out to the end, bancomat, bancomat. And so I get out there and take out my money, which the ATM cards work fine there. And I had little Snicker bars that I had taken from the U.S., and I was using just as little snacks on my flight there, on my travels. So I gave them some of that, and, oh, you have good time in Romania, and we'll show you back to road. And so they flipped on their lights again, and off we went back down the same pathway out of the city limits, and they waved goodbye to me, and that was my police escort to the ATM.
Well, I think that answers the question of, did you meet any interesting characters while you were there?
I did. In fact, what... you'll find that the Romanians are happy to see you there. They're very welcoming of tourists, mm-hmm. just very genuine, friendly people. And that, I think, is part of that fun of driving from city to city and sitting in the cafes is meeting those people.
And use this as an example to tell people, if you want to pitch a story to be on the Amateur Traveler, do what Sean does and write me a story like that. He described that story in his email, and that'll get you on every time. So
there you go.
Biggest surprise?
Probably biggest surprises were the commercialization of the
Dracula.
Peppish's Dracula. Uh-huh. Second surprise is everybody touted the Bronze Castle is a must-see. If you have time, it's close to Brasov. It's right in central Transylvania. You ought to go see it. But realize that, number one, there's some dispute whether or not Dracula actually even resided there. Mm-hmm. And if he did, was he a prisoner or was he a resident and not for very long? And then Queen Anne of Romania had gone in and redone all of the rooms to make them more livable. And so when you take this tour, you're seeing more of the interior that was designed by Queen Anne instead of something that's more medieval and tied to the 1400s.
So it sounds like you'd recommend, if you were limited for time, go see the villages and skip the castle, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's other castles, too. There's castles all around. In fact, there's castles that Vlad Tepish did build and did reside in them. And they're just as fun to view.
Okay.
And see Bronze Castle, because that's kind of a must-see, but don't plan on spending a whole lot of time there because it is more of a tourist attraction and probably not very historically based.
And language, it sounds like you picked up a little Romanian, but mostly got by in English?
Yes, without any Romanian, you can get by. I think it's always advisable to learn thank you and please and those phrases that will introduce you to people.
Well, and probably a lot of people don't know that it's a Romance language, that it's similar to French, for instance.
In fact, it's very similar to French and to Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a Romance language behind you, picking up Romanian phrases would be very simple. In fact, I just picked up the Berlitz phrasebook and read through that, and I had more than enough Romanian to get me by.
Yeah, when I meet somebody from Romania, it always sounds a bit like, when they're speaking Romanian, it almost sounds like French with a Slavic accent is the closest
exactly.
I can describe it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of analogize it. It's more like there was a train wreck between the French train and the Italian train, and those who survived the accident came out speaking Romanian.
All right. One warning you would give?
I think if you venture off into Bucharest, the major city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's just that extra caution that goes with the major city.
Sure. And we're talking caution, you mean caution against petty crime and that sort of thing?
Petty crime, mm-hmm. pickpockets, that type of thing, being out late or being in the wrong neighborhood.
Right.
I think there's some sights to see in Bucharest, but that's why I would almost recommend flying, because especially the lower cost air carriers, I'd recommend somebody flying directly into Transylvania and renting your car and just visiting that area,
okay.
rather than taking a international flight into the Bucharest airport, renting the car, and dealing with the traffic concerns out of a major city.
Okay.
Another interesting surprise that I think the guidebooks miss as well is because I think they focused on land travel, I had heard on Virtual Tourist and other, in TripAdvisor and other sites that the border crossings were fairly laborious and took a lot of time, expecting an hour, hour and a half delay at all the crossings from, like, Bulgaria, for example, into mm-hmm. Romania. Somebody had suggested in one of the online posts that flying in, it was much easier to go through customs and clear immigration. And it was just absolutely simple. I flew into the Bucharest airport, basically showed them my passport. They said, welcome to Romania, and I walked through. It was a five-minute ordeal. To
okay.
walk through customs and immigration. So flying in, I think you're going to save some time and some effort than doing the land crossings.
I don't know if we can call it 5 minutes and an ordeal at the same time for those of us who
have right.
flown into Heathrow on a 747. But
yeah, in fact, it's taken me more time to clear customs than, for example, London or
sure.
Shannon, Ireland, than mm-hmm. it has in Romania.
Okay. And resources to plan the trip, you mentioned Virtual Tourist and the Lonely Planet Guidebook. Any other resources you used?
There's more and more websites popping up that are dealing with tourism
okay.
in Romania. I also like to go find those sites that deal with more of the local news, like the local newspapers. One that comes to mind is that there's a website called Seven Times, and that's the word seven, S-T-V-E-N, times.ro, which is Romanian.
Okay.
And it'll talk about technology and education, and then they have a travel section on there.
Hmm.
It's in English, and it's also in Romanian. But it's a fun place to, if you want to pick out cultural events that are going to be happening within Transylvania, that's probably a really good source to go and find those websites. And most of the sites you'll find are both in English and in Romanian.
Any remnants left over of the sort of the communist culture under Ceausescu?
The remnants are probably, if you go into Bucharest, into the major city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the sights to see is what's called the People's Palace.
Okay.
It's the second largest building in the world, second to the Pentagon.
Right.
Just slightly smaller than the Pentagon. And Kosciuszko was one that
Ooh.
You know thought a lot of himself.
I said that wrong. Okay.
For example, when he was building his Grand Boulevard in front of the People's Palace,
mm-hmm.
he obliterated historical sites and synagogues and churches and just to make this Grand Boulevard. And then he had, is purportedly in one of the articles that I read, that he wanted his boulevard to be longer than the Champs-Élysées of Paris. And so he specifically made it, I think, 2 or 3 meters longer so that he would have the longest boulevard in Romania or in Europe. And this place is absolutely huge. I mean, I walked to it. It didn't look that far on the map. And this building looked huge from a distance. And I kept walking and walking. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And it's quite the building to see.
Hmm. Interesting.
In fact, you can see why kind of the average Romanian probably wasn't that pleased with Kosciuszko if they were having a real difficult time eking out a living and he was living in opulence in this huge building.
Okay. If you were going to take one of your photos and blow it up to a travel poster and put it on the wall to remind you of Romania, of Transylvania, what would it be?
It probably was a picture that I took. It's the rolling hills of Transylvania. I had left Sibiu, it's a little Transylvania town, our city, and had driven back towards Bran Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And you pass by these rolling green hills with these little towns nestled in these valleys, and
mm-hmm.
then in the background you see these snow-capped mountains. That, for me, is Transylvania, that scenic beauty that I did not expect to see.
And if you had to summarize Transylvania in three words, which of course you do, what three words would you use?
I would use beautiful.
Okay.
I would use inexpensive
okay.
and hospitable because I just thoroughly enjoyed limited interaction I did have with Romanian people. They just found them to be very genuine people.
Okay. Well, Sean, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about Transylvania and your experiences there.
Glad to help.
I have one internet resource to recommend for you today, and that is aboutairportparking.com, which, strangely enough, is about airport parking. And that's a website you can go to find out not just the details of the official airport parking, but also any nearby airport parking that might be less expensive, for instance. So check that out, aboutairportparking.com. I did get an email last week from, I'm going to say, Shimon, S-H-I-M-O-N, who says, I'm a longtime listener and I finally have a chance to catch up on episodes. I've listened to about 10 episodes in the last 24 hours. That's impressive. I'm an Aussie and have yet to visit many of the destinations you podcast about, but there are a couple of recent, for me, podcasts that I really enjoy way more than I expected to. Elizabeth and Walt Disney World was great, and Amanda Castleman on Croatia. I never thought I'd be so interested in visiting Croatia, but she was really interesting and absolutely hilarious. I hope you have her on more often to talk about other destinations. Thank you, Shimon. I also got an email from Jeffrey a while back, and Jeffrey says, I'm an attorney in Texas and have often thought about starting a podcast that has something to do with Texas, but the idea of coming up with a new topic week after week after week sounds more like work than pleasure. I know what you mean. Maybe you could post a page on your website that explains what software and equipment that you use. I think many people would appreciate that. And I did write back to Jeffrey, and I'll put a link in the show notes. I actually have something, I believe it's on the Chris2X blog, which is my personal blog, that is a 15-minute video that not only talks about what software I use, which is GarageBand, what hardware I use, I'm on a MacBook Pro, and it talks about the particular headset that I use, but it also shows you 15 minutes of how I put together the show and how I edit the show and just the little bit of the magic behind the scenes. I put that up a little while ago, but some of you who are newer to the show may not have seen that. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. And Jeffrey also said about the Colorado podcast, many Texans agree that Colorado is the only place on earth that can even come close to competing with Texas. And clearly Jeffrey has never been to California. With that, we'll bring this episode of the Amateur Traveler to a close. If you have any questions, feel free to comment on the episode at amateurtraveler.com or send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.